We're in a series on verses that every Christian should know and why. There is an elephant in the room, and that's the events of the last couple of weeks. And I've been asked many times this week if I was going to address that, and I am in just a few minutes. One of our elders actually called me and said, "Hey, are you going to change the message and just talk about what's happened the last week or two?" And I said, "Actually, no, because God in His sovereignty has worked it out that what we're looking at is exactly what I think we as a congregation need to hear." So if you would open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40, and our key verse that we're looking at this morning is this one: "For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So I'm going to ask you to read that out loud with me. Ready? "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." A little bit of background on the book of Isaiah and on this chapter in particular. And this is from the Fact Book, which is a book in my Bible software. So they had a really good paragraph, just one paragraph on the meaning of Isaiah. Listen to this, quote, "Isaiah is a diverse collection of prophetic messages. The first two-thirds emphasize Judah's sins, calling them to repent and warning of God's coming judgment on Judah and the nations. But throughout, there are hints of God's plan to redeem and restore His people. The last third of the book," which starts with chapter 40, by the way, "emphasizes the themes of salvation and restoration following judgment." They go on to say that the primary theme of Isaiah 40 is comfort and hope for God's people. Let me ask you a question. Are you one of God's people? Do you need comfort? Do you need hope? Okay, then Isaiah is 40 for us. He goes on to say this chapter marks a significant shift in the book of Isaiah, moving from a tone of judgment in the preceding chapters to a message of restoration and divine love. It was written to offer reassurance to the Israelites during their exile in Babylon, a time when they were feeling discouraged and had doubts about whether God had abandoned them. Question: have you ever felt, as a child of God, have you ever felt discouraged? Have you ever felt at some point in your walk with God the question, has God abandoned me? I have. So what do we do about that? And this message was in, like, these are planned out a couple of months ahead of time. I didn't know about the events of the last 2 weeks. It's the elephant in the room. And let me just briefly, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time talking about this, but whether you liked Charlie Kirk or not, whether you believed in his what he believed or didn't believe what he believed, it was a tragedy for this 31-year-old man to be murdered in front of his wife and leave two small children without a daddy. In the same period of time, a young Ukrainian woman was murdered brutally on a train in North Carolina. There were school shootings that are now happening at such a rate that it doesn't often even make the news. Four Israelis were killed in broad daylight in a street by a Palestinian. And then we celebrated, or not celebrated, we remembered 9/11. All of this has happened in the last couple of weeks. Yesterday, I spoke at a funeral for a lady that knew the Lord, that went to be with the Lord, and I was asked to do her service. She didn't go to church here, but I was asked to officiate at her service. And I was at the funeral home, Tim Stewart Funeral Home, yesterday, and we did all the preliminary planning. I met with the family, and the family's now visiting with people that are coming in. And I'm standing over in the corner with a funeral director, and he said, "Man, what a week." I mean, he just started the conversation. And these conversations are going on all over the place. "Man, what a week." I said, "Yeah, it was." He said, and he's 25, 26 years old, young man. He said, "I listened to Charlie Kirk every day." I said, "You did?" He said, "Yeah." But he said, "You know, I've been praying this, and I pray." This is what he says to me. He brings it up. I didn't bring it up. He brought it up and he said, you know, I pray this. He said, do you know what I pray every day? I said, no, what? He said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I said, so you know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? He said, oh, I sure do. And he said, I pray that. And I said to him, I do too. I pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. This last week and a half and 2 weeks or so, the last week especially, is left in Tracy and I, my wife and I, the feeling that you get when you wake up tired. You know what I mean? You slept, but you wake up exhausted because life just wears on you at such a deep level. I read a book a long time ago by a psychologist named Richard Swenson. And the name of the book is Margins. And his concept in the book is that every piece of paper, like if you type out a Word document or a Pages document on your computer and you print it out, it has margins on the side, it has margins on the top and the bottom. And we are designed by God to have those margins. But when we go over our margins of finances, of health, of not getting enough rest, of too much stress and pressure, of too much bad news, it just fills out the margins. And then the least little thing is that straw that breaks the camel's back. It's a really good read. I think it'll help you. If you are feeling just overwhelmed with life, it's a book called Margins, and it's got a lot of good information. And I would recommend that if you are a reader that you get a hold of that and read that book. I think it might help you. But I think so many people in America are at margins. They've pushed life to the very edge. And what troubles me is not just that a 31-year-old man was shot and killed, assassinated for his beliefs, but that, A, we can't have dialogue in America where we can disagree without harming each other. We used to be able to do that. How many of y'all remember where we used to could debate stuff and shake hands and still be friends? I don't know if those days are gone forever or gone for a while. But it troubles me that we can't disagree civilly. And the second thing that troubles me is how people on social media celebrate the death of Charlie Kirk. Whether you believed him or not, whether you agreed with him or not, is irrelevant. But to celebrate the death of somebody who lost, whose wife is now a widow, and whose kids will never, they'll hear about their daddy, but they'll never know him. And that people are celebrating that. There's something deeply wrong in our culture. Now, I'm waiting for Jesus to come. I would be so okay. Like Trace and I prayed this morning, we were driving into church. Lord, we'd be totally okay if you came today. Like if we didn't lay our head on our pillow one more day, we just left this world and left a pile of clothes right here. Can you imagine if Jesus came right now and they came in to investigate and there were just piles of clothes and cars that with nobody in them and piles of clothes with nobody? Lord, I'd be fine. But if you don't come today, what am I supposed to do with this, with the world I'm living in? Not just America, but around the world. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 25 that in the last days there would be this kind of stuff. Wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against nations. You know, Ukraine and Russia now Poland and Palestine and Israel and all the chaos that's in the world. Jesus said in those days, those last days, there will be wars and rumors of wars and nations rising against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. That's where we are. I personally think that we are getting close to the coming of the Lord. One of the things this young man said to me, the funeral director that was 25 years old, you know what he said to me? He said, I pray every day, and I told you this, I pray every day, even so, come Lord Jesus. And then his eyes lit up, and he said, you know what? He could already be here. Now, it was 5 minutes before the service. Like, we were not going to get into a lengthy discussion on eschatology. You know, pre-trib, pre-mill, post-mill, all-mill, I mean, but there was an enthusiasm in his eyes and his voice to think, and he believes, man, Jesus could already be here growing up. He said, wouldn't that be something? And I agreed with him and said, that would be something. That would be something. So we are called to that old hymn, watching and waiting, blessed assurance, watching and waiting. Lord, we are watching and waiting for you. But in the meantime, we have a life to live. We have things to do. So there was no need for me to change the sermon. I can't think of anything we need more this morning than this. And I'm going to show you why. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you would look in your Bible, Isaiah 40. I want to read from verse 28 through verse 31. If you have your Bible open to Isaiah chapter 40. And God says through the prophet Isaiah in verse 28 of chapter 40, these words. It's not up on the screen, just verse 31. So look in your Bible at verse 28, 29, and 30. Do you not know, God says, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint and weary. That's children. Young men stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. Let me see if you recognize the message behind this picture. Not that one, that one. Now, some of you may not get this, but if you're older, you'll get this. Let me start it and see if you can finish it. A watch pot never boils. I tried this yesterday. I have a few little jobs in our house, not big. Tracy doesn't want me to do big jobs, but she lets me do little jobs. And she taught me how to make iced tea. Like you boil this water and you put 10 tea bags and you let it sit for 10 minutes and you dump it and you put ice and there you go. So I put the water on the kettle, in the kettle, and I turned it on. And we have this electric kettle that you can see the water in the glass, and you can see it begin to gurgle and till it boils, and then it kicks it off. It turns it off, and you know it's ready to go. I knew what I was going to preach on. I actually was standing there in the kitchen with my sermon notes while I was doing some stuff. And so I decided to watch. And you know what? A watch pot, it never boils. I stood there till I was bored out of my mind, and I said, well, I'm just going to go do something else. Until I heard the click. I said, okay, now we're cooking. Now I can make some tea. I have never heard anyone in my whole life, not one time ever in my whole entire life on this earth, say these words, I really enjoy waiting. I love to wait. I just love it. I've never heard anybody say that and truly mean it. Nobody likes to wait. Waiting for answers to prayer. When you've been asking God for guidance, for healing, or for provision, it seems like the answer is taking longer than you expected. Waiting in a doctor's office for results of a diagnosis or a test. Waiting for a job opportunity after sending applications or going through interviews, the days that follow can seem like weeks or can seem like forever. Waiting for change in a difficult decision, a difficult season when life feels stuck, financial struggles, broken relationships, personal growth. You long for breakthrough. But it doesn't come overnight. So, we wait. But here's the question for me. What should I do while I wait? And what does it mean to wait? I want us to look at three things, and I just passed the slide, but let me go back to it. You will see three different things in this passage. You see the word wait. You will see renew your strength. and you will see mounted with wings as eagles. So I want to talk about all three of those things because I think they all three work together. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait on the Lord. The word wait is in the ESV, the New American Standard, the King James. It's the word hope in the NIV and the New Living Translation, and it's the word trust in the Christian Standard Bible. It's all the same Hebrew word, wait, hope, trust. The meaning in Hebrew is to wait for, to trust, to have trust or confidence in someone, especially as it regards to our future. So to wait on the Lord is to have confidence in Him as it regards to my future. Now, here's the thing. In the Hebrew language, which is the language this was written in, the word wait means to be active while you wait. It doesn't mean just to plop down and say, okay, God, I'm waiting. Okay, go. Ready? Go. Okay, God, you're on the clock. Ready? Go. Okay? Go. That's not what it means. It means that while I am busy waiting, while we wait, it's an active posture of faith. While we wait, we work. While we wait, we live. While we wait, we love. While we wait, we serve. The motto is not the right word, mission statement. The mission statement of our church is Gwinnett Community Church exists to exalt the Lord, encourage His people, and engage in spreading His message to the world. So while I'm waiting, while I'm going through the season that we're all going through this week and last week, this time of unrest in our nation where people are angry with each other, people are hurting each other. I love Jonathan's last song he picked and what he had to say about that. While there's just all this mess going on, we are actively exalting the Lord in our lives. We're actively encouraging one another in our lives, and we're actively engaged in trying to spread His message of hope and peace and salvation and love to a world that desperately needs Him. While we wait, we work. It's not just waiting. It's while we wait, we work. To wait, to trust, to have trust or confidence, especially as it regards to our future. We keep moving. We keep moving. I got up this morning, turned the coffee on. Tracy started doing her hair and stuff. And I went back into the bed. Like I didn't, you know, I wasn't going back to sleep. But I went back to bed and I pulled the covers up. And I said, hey! And she stuck her head around the bathroom door. She said, what? I said, let me know how church goes. And I pulled the covers over my head. She said, you have to go. I said, really? She said, yeah, you're the pastor. You have to go. And I know there are days, not just Sundays, but there are days for all of us where you just want to go back to bed and pull the covers over your head and hope that when you wake up that this is all just some kind of nightmare. But it's not. It's the world we live in. And we are called to be salt and light. And part of that is waiting on the Lord, being active while we're waiting on Him, being active while we trust Him to do what? Now watch this. This is the second part. To renew our strength. The word renew in Hebrew means to exchange, and strength is power and ability. Now watch this. As we wait on the Lord, as we are busy serving, loving, living, doing our life, being with our family, being with our friends, going to work, cutting the grass, getting the mail, while we're doing all this stuff, what happens is the Lord will exchange my weakness for His strength. He will exchange my confusion with answers from His Word. He will exchange my feeling of hopelessness for hope. He will exchange my lack of desire to love my enemies for love. It is an exchange as He renews our strength. Here's some verses that might be helpful to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. His strength is vast. We just read about Him. This God who said, I will renew your strength, is the God who said, the Lord says to Isaiah, The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. God doesn't get tired. God never lays in bed and pulls the covers up and says, let me know how church went. That's not him. There is no limit to his understanding. There's nothing he doesn't know. There's a lot I don't know. I'm telling you, when you look at the circumstances of the last week or two in politics and the world we live, it's levels deep on both sides. I'm not saying it's okay to shoot somebody. I'm not saying it's okay to murder somebody on a bus in North Carolina or shoot some kids at a school. I'm not saying any of that's okay. But when you look at the world landscape and you look at Israel and Palestine, you look at Russia and Ukraine, you look at all this stuff going on, I'm telling you, it's above my pay grade. It's above mine. So I'm trusting the one for whom there's nothing he doesn't know. And you read on again, he gives strength to the faint. He strengthens the powerless, the faint. Youths may become faint. Children may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall. You know, I'm being reminded on a regular basis that I'm not as strong as I used to be. And we can all stand in front of the mirror and do this in our underwear, but it ain't the same. And my son, who is 36? He's a lot stronger than me. He could snap me in half if he wants to. Now, it used to be that I could just knock him around, but not anymore. And I'm proud of the man he is, but I mean, he's young and I'm older. And as you get older, things change. When you're a child, he even says here in verse 30, children become faint and weary. Children get tired. Everybody gets tired. Young men stumble and fall. Older people stumble and fall. Really old people stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. So he says in Ephesians, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. If you want to know where to get strength, go to the Lord who has all strength. Ephesians 3, to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And one more, 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may reside in me. The third phrase you see here is like an eagle. Mount up with wings as eagles. The word mount here means to ascend, to climb, to rise. Have you ever seen an eagle in the sky? Now, don't go on social media now and look for videos. You need to listen to me for 10 more minutes and then you can look at eagles all day long. But just give me about 5 or 10 more minutes here. When you watch eagles, they don't flap. They catch the breeze. Smaller birds flap their wings, but eagles spread their wings and ride the wind. They soar higher and higher. Not by working hard, but by depending on the power of the wind beneath their wings. The wind beneath our wings is God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The wind beneath our wings is God's word and a knowledge of him and a relationship with him and encouragement from our brothers and sisters in the faith. Flapping our wings is useless. That's what we do when we work in the flesh. I'm going to make this work. I can do this. Nope, you can't. What you do is you spread your wings and you say to the Holy Spirit, okay, just take me where I need to go. And he does. The Lord is the wind beneath our wings. Waiting on him brings strength. endurance and grace. I'm telling you, I've been a Christian now for 60 years. I got saved when I was 8 years old. I've been a Christian for 60 years. And I've seen this work 100 times in my own life where I'm just empty. I'm like beyond empty. You ever been there? Like I wish I could be just empty. I'm beyond. Like I admire empty. I'm like, there's nothing left in my tank. But as you wait on the Lord, as you just look to Him and you keep looking to Him and you keep putting one foot in front of the other, in front of the other, in front of the other, and you keep getting up in the morning and going to work and doing your thing, even when you're not feeling it, what begins to happen is you begin to exchange your hopelessness, right, for hope in Him. You begin to exchange your faithlessness with faith in Him. That renewing my strength. And before you know it, man, you're just flying on the wind of the Holy Spirit. And you're soaring like an eagle. Now, why does this matter? Every one of these sermons, we've looked at 2 points. Number one, what does this mean? Number two, why does this matter? So why does this matter? I have a devotional book by Charles Swindoll. It's an old book. It was written like in the 80s. Like old. That's not old, but that's before some of y'all were born. But it's so funny to say, oh, way back in the 80s? Oh, really? Yeah. Is that when you like chipped books into rocks in the caves and stuff? But I bought this book, I think it's called Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life. And in one of his devotions, it's one of those books I have that's the pages are yellow and it falls open on its own and I've written on every page and I go back to it every once in a while. I've got it by my chair at home right now. I'm going through it again. But what he said is, the problem, get this, this is so funny. The problem with life is that it's so daily. We get up, we make our coffee, we get the kids off to school. We get in, we grab our coffee to go, we get in the car, we get in the traffic in Atlanta, we get to work, we're looking at a pile of stuff to do, and a boss that's grumpy. Because he didn't want to be there either. And you go through your day, and then you get back in the car with an empty coffee cup to drive home, to have a quick dinner, to help the kids with homework, to maybe run the vacuum or do a couple of loads of laundry, to have a few minutes to yourself before you fall in bed and get up the next day to do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. And after a while, it just wears you out. He was right. The problem with life is it's so daily. So every day. And over time, it grinds you down. So why does this verse matter? Because we have a Heavenly Father full of wisdom and power and love who is there to renew our strength, to exchange what we are not, get this, to exchange what we are not for what He is. Everything we're not, He is. Everything we need, He has. He has everything we need for life and godliness, the Bible says. That great exchange, and all He asks of us is this: wait on Me. Trust Me. Place your trust and confidence in Me, and watch what I can do for you. I came across an old pastor, information about this old pastor, Charles Tindley, and I would encourage you to look him up. He died in the 30s. Great man of God, brilliant. Let me tell you about this guy. He was born a slave. His parents died when he was 5 years old. He was sent to live with some relatives that were free slaves. So they were in the north, and he was able to be free. Taught himself to read and write. Got a job as a janitor in this church, this Methodist church in Philadelphia. Signed up for some classes at night in theology at this local Bible college. Learned and mastered Greek and Hebrew. And ended up pastoring the church where he started as janitor. That church grew to have over 12,000 members. African-American, white, ethnic groups. They loved Pastor Tinley. He was a great man, brilliant mind, but he was also a pretty amazing musician. One day, one of his worried church members approached him for a word of comfort. They were feeling like many of you may feel today. This kindly pastor, Pastor Tinley, said, quote, he used to say this all the time, by the way, to church members, put all your troubles in a sack, take them to the Lord, and leave them there. Unquote. Put all your troubles in a sack, take them to the Lord, leave them there. So from that, he got the idea for this song. Now, I love what he said here, this quote. Blessed is the man who's too busy to worry in the daytime and too sleepy to worry at night. That's pretty good. It's pretty good advice. But this church member came to him. He said, hey, just take it all, put it in the sack, give it to the Lord, leave it there. And from that, he wrote this song that has several verses, but this is the chorus. Leave it there. You've sung it. Leave it there, leave it there. You know this? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. He wrote those words. They're good words. Just put your burdens in a bag and take it to the Lord. Leave it there. And wait actively on him, and he will exchange. He'll swap you. You give me what you're not, and I'm going to give you what I am. And then we can rise above this crazy, insane world we're living and not only survive it, but thrive in it through the power of God. Remember our friend watching the pot? Remember that guy? Stop watching the pot. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great truth. Thank you for these verses on that every Christian needs and every Christian should know and why they should know them. And this is certainly ranks above the great ones. Lord, help us to memorize and hide this verse in our heart. Wait on the Lord and he'll renew your strength. Then you can mount up with wings like eagle. You can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint. What a great promise. Thank you for this. Help us, Lord, as men and women of God, to leave this place walking, not just surviving, but thriving in this world. And Lord, would you this week give us opportunities? I know this is going to come up. It comes up every day at work, every day at school, every day in our social gatherings. People are talking about this. Lord, give us opportunities to be able to share the hope we have in Christ and how Jesus Christ can make a difference in everybody's life if we will just give you a chance. So Father, help us to do that. And give us opportunities to share our faith with those who desperately are looking for answers in a world that seemingly doesn't have any. We have it in the Bible. Help us to be willing to share that. And give us courage to share that. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name.